Welcome to Dracena Wines Podcast. Our wines plus your moments equals great memories. I'm your host, Lori, and this is a podcast about all things wine.
Thanks for tuning in to listen to Dracena Wines Podcast. I hope you enjoy this episode of Winefabet Street. The letter of the day is I, and it stands for Itata, a wine region in Chile. We would appreciate if you could please share this podcast with your friends and if you swipe up to leave us a review. The more reviews we get, the easier it is for other people to find out about us and to learn about wine in a relaxed and fun atmosphere. And if you are interested in finding out about our award-winning wines, please check out our website at dracenawines.com. You can find episode notes on our podcast homepage located at bit.ly/listen to Dracena. That's bit.ly/listen to Dracena, and that's with a capital L and capital D. So uncork, unscrew, or saber that bottle and connect with us as we chat, laugh, and drink wine all in our laid-back atmosphere. We are live.
All right, we're live.
We are live. Hello, hello, hello.
Welcome. Welcome to Winefabet Street.
Yes, yes. Winefabet Street, we are a week late, thanks to me.
Hey, you know what? We both got to show up, so we had to change the date a week, but yeah. You know.
And as it turns out, we could have done it on the 19th because I couldn't get on that darned United flight. It was like traveling back from hell, coming back.
President's weekend, yeah. Yeah, I'm heading out there Friday,
right. I could not get on a flight on Monday, and then my actual flight on Tuesday was delayed between all the delays 7 hours.
So, yeah, I was watching you. I was
it was not a pleasant trip. But we are here tonight. For Winefabet Street, we are back and we are here with the letter I. So I am going to get right into Elmo right now. Day is I, and we are talking about Itata. Itata. In Chile. And before we even get into that, I have to do a major shout out to my Fresno buddy of mine, Nick Berube, who suggested Itata while we were at the Wine Bloggers Conference in when were we there? November. In November. Because we couldn't think of an I. And Nick just came right out with Itata. So thank you, Nick. We are thrilled to be up to the letter I and trying Itata.
And I'll tell you, I've never heard of this region of Chile. And it was really interesting researching it.
Yeah, I had never heard of it, and as you know, Debbie, I thought it was Italy.
So. And I'm like, no, it's in Chile.
I'm like, why can't I find this in Italy? Where is it? Well, because it's Chile, you know.
Of course, it's in Chile.
Chile, yes. So, anyway, so why don't you introduce yourself?
I am Debbie Giaquindo. I am known as the Hudson Valley Wine Goddess. I'm a wine blogger, a wine writer. I'm the author of Tapping the Hudson Valley. I'm co-owner at Happy Bitch Wines. And on March 30th of this year, in a couple weeks, we're going to be opening a restaurant in Stone Harbor, New Jersey, called Kitchen 330.
Yay!
Woo! So never a dull moment in my life. So that's I've been up to.
It is so exciting to, you are now my second friend that I know that is opening up a restaurant. Out in Paso, I have friends who are caterers And they opened up a restaurant right in downtown Paso, Farmstead Kitchen and Catering. And they are doing wonderful. And now you, it's like, I can go eat where.
Yeah. In fact, we might have on the 24th of March, I'm not sure, we might have a, depends on how the whole renovation and stuff goes, a friends and family. So you'll have to come down for the weekend.
All right. As long as I can sleep at your house, because I'm not driving down and coming back.
Belton bike, you know, you got the wine refrigerator here now. I'm never going to get you out of the room.
That's true.
And the restaurant is BYO because of the way New Jersey laws are, but there is a way I can do wine dinners if I partner with the liquor store next door.
There you go.
So I researched it and got my answers. So.
All right. Good to know. Yes.
So, introduce yourself.
Well,
Lori.
I am Lori, and along with my husband, we own Dracena Wines, which is a boutique winery in Paso Robles. We specialize in Cabernet Franc. We are the founders of Cab Franc Day, and we just released our first rosé. It is a rosé of Syrah, and we are excited. It is limited release, and we haven't kind of officially released it, but we've been selling it and it's been, you know, we're shipping it out to the people whose weather it's okay to ship to. We've got some on hold, but we can be found at dracenawines.com, and please check us out. Our Cab Franc just won a double gold in the San Francisco Chronicle, and we are living our life. We are pursuing our passion. All right. And our third co-host, Elmo! Can't go anywhere. Can't go anywhere without Elmo. Love him. So we have some very interesting news. You know, we have been basically, you know, Dracena Wines and Happy Bitch Wines has been sponsoring the Wine for Betstry, but we have a new sponsor starting with tonight's Wine for Betstry. And, you know, we make our award Cabernet Franc and our rosé, but you know what? We can't always drink our own wine. We have to venture out. And part of Wine for Betstry is all about exploring new wines and new wine regions. And our new sponsor is Wink, and it's spelled W-I-N-C. Okay, but they make it easy to discover new great wine, and it doesn't get easier. I went through the process so that I can talk about it and really, you know, say it from a personal thing. Basically, what happens is you log on, they ask you certain questions to get a palate profile, like what coffee do you like or how do you like your coffee? And I'm like, I don't drink coffee, right? They have that as an option. You know, or how do you like blueberries, or what do you like about this? So they ask these questions, and from these questions, and I think it's like a 5-minute thing, if that, from these questions, they develop your palate profile, and then they suggest 4 wines for you. And you can say, yeah, that's my jam. I'm going to try these 4 wines, which is what I did. I was like, oh, let's see how they do. Or if you don't want the 4 wines, they just, you know, you can pick whatever wines you want. So it's completely up to you. There's no membership fees and there's no obligation. So you can skip any month without any issues. They don't care. Okay. And I placed my order. It came 2 days later. Like, I was so impressed, so fast, in a really nice shipping container. And then the next day, I actually got an email from them, from Food 52, and they gave me recipes to go with the wines that they shipped me. So,
very nice.
Yeah, really, really personalized. The average bottle starts at about $13, and Wink actually works with top winemakers and growers from all around the world. So you can get wine from California, you can get wine from Chile, you can get wine from Italy, you can get wine anywhere. They had Albarino, Cinsault, Gewurz, Malbec, so many choices. And if this is something that's interesting to you, which I don't know why it wouldn't be, but we have an offer for you. So all you have to do is go to TryWink, which is TryWinc.com/WineForBet. And if you sign up under that link, they're going to give you $20 off of your first order. And that $20 brings your first order down to like $30 for four bottles of wine. It's like, it is a deal. You can't go wrong to, you know, give it a try. You don't like it. You can cancel. You can keep coming. They give you emails, text messages, so you can answer them however you want. It's all up to you. And I tried one of the four, and it was a good wine, you know. So I'm going to do my next month, and I think it ships March 11th. And I'm letting them pick them again because it's nice and easy. I don't have to think.
That's true. It's like a kid in a candy store when you go into that wine shop.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. And plus I spend so much more money because I am a kid in the candy shop. So I go in for one bottle and I come out with like a case, you know.
Yeah, same problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Problem. So,
spell that site again. What was it? Try.
It is trywink. So trywinc.com/winefabet. And you'll get $20 off of your first order.
More news.
We do.
We have a website.
Winefabet Street is official.
Official. Yes. So you can also, you know, Lori and I, we each, you know, post about, you know, the Winefabet Street, about the episode and stuff. But you can go to winefabetstreet.com, click on season one. Well, first you can go and you can learn more about both Lori and I and our passions for wine and what we do. And then you can also go to season one and look at all the episodes that we have done and the episodes that are coming out for the future. So you can make plans to join us if you're available on those days. Yeah. So
we are moving and a grooving.
Rolling.
Yes, we are. So are we ready to travel to Chile?
I'm ready.
All right. So we're going to start off with the general characteristics. I is for Itata. Itata is a wine region in the southern end of Chile's long, thin wine country. So it is actually the largest wine growing region in southern Chile. So I thought that was kind of interesting because like it's in southern Chile and it's the largest wine region in Chile, but that doesn't mean it's the largest region in Chile. So I couldn't find what is the largest, but I'm not going to lie. I didn't research too much, but I was just thinking that was pretty funny, like very specific. Largest wine growing region in southern Chile. This historical cool climate region is dominated by plantings of pais, Muscat of Alexandria, and Carignan, although producers are beginning to plant more modern grape varieties such as Cabernet Sauvignon. Now, my little arrow. Okay, there are 14 principal wine-producing regions in Chile known as valleys. Itata Valley is located just south of the Mall Valley, and the Itata's boundaries cover an area measuring only 60 miles. From north to south, and basically that same distance east to west. So that's the largest region, and that to me seems pretty small. The area is defined by the convergence of the Itata and the Nobul rivers, and the vineyards are mostly found all clustered around the towns of Chillán and Quilín and Coilemo. The Pacific Ocean, with its cooling Humboldt Current, lies to the west, and the Biobío Valley. That's where I want to go. I have no idea what's really there, but I want to go to Biobío. Okay? So love the name. Biobío Valley wine region is just south of the area. The major port city is Concepción, and it is just 40 miles southwest of the majority of the Itata vineyards. So, the Itata countryside includes steep hills planted with vineyards and imposing pine forests. So, I thought that was pretty cool too. I like to have pine forests along with vineyards in the same area. You know, I was like, oh, the pictures were so pretty. I had a great time researching Itata. I'm not lying. And I was completely, completely sober the entire time, I swear. And I'm sober now. I haven't even had my first sip. But I just thought it was such a beautiful area. It's complemented by the fast-flowing Itata River. The Itata is a variety of small subsistence farms, and viticulture is like all there is there. That is everything to them. They produce artisanal wines using traditional methods, and most of their wines are actually sold rather locally. And what I thought was awesome is that at the latitude 36 degrees, Itata actually is similar distance from the equator as my near and dear to me central coast of California. Okay. The climate is coastal, experiences high levels of precipitation, actually up to 40 inches per year, and makes dry farming possible. 2 to 3 times what the northerly, you know, up a little more north of the Maipo Valley receives. So it's a big difference as you go down Chile. The Pacific Ocean also exerts a cooling influence, which tempers the climate and helps produce fresh and vibrant vines. So again, you know, you have the cooling temperature of the ocean coming in that allows the fruit to stay on the vines a little bit longer and go to, you know, reach their, you know, their full expression of their flavors. The soil is composed of granite deposits from the coastal mountain range formed by in the Jurassic period. And it is mostly loam soil and has excellent drainage. It has about 20% clay content, and it holds in the humidity, which again allows for the dry farming. And quartz is also kind of present in the area. So that is a beautiful vineyard in Itata that is dry farmed. And if you look at the vines themselves, that's very typical. You'll notice there's no trellising system. That is a goblet training system, and it is known as cabeza. So they also are planted on original rootstock. So it's a very different type of growing of the vines in that area. So the oldest vines in the area actually date back to 150 years, and the vineyards are only worked using horses. So there's no, you know, in this area, there's no mechanical harvesting. They use the horses to plow and to, you know, clear and to do everything. And
The history?
Yes.
All right.
Can I history. Drink, please?
Let's get a drink. You're poured already? I'm not even poured yet.
Oh, I took a picture. That's why. I had to take a picture.
Well, I have a DiMartino Gallardia Cinsault 2014. What do you have?
Wow, 2014. So I have, we're going to have to change this format. We're going to do this because now we're not drinking till 8 o'clock. We can't do the drinking later on. We're going to do the wineries next. So I have Alos Vinteros Bravos, and it is Granitico. So he has Granitico and Volcanico wines. Okay. So that is what I am drinking. I liked the label. I had a couple of options here. So, do you want to do a history, or since we're drinking, do you want to just
do the history?
Okay. Go ahead.
So, all right. Slide up.
I'm sure I'll be on the second glass by the time you're done.
I'm going to take a sip first. The history of Itata. So the Itata Valley is called the forgotten viticultural region of Chile, nestled between the Biobío and the Maule Valleys in southern Chile, 250 miles south of Santiago. Its boundaries cover an area measuring roughly 60 miles from north to south and a little less from east to west. There are about 26,000 acres of commercial grapes planted within the boundaries. It's one of the oldest wine-growing regions in Chile. The first vineyards were planted in the Itata region not far from the Bay of Concepcion by Spanish conquerors in 1551.
Oh.
Making this region is a forerunner of winemaking in all of Chile. Close to Concepcion, which was one of the main Chilean ports at this time, the valley soon became one of the largest wine suppliers, not only to the region, but to the entire Spanish Empire in the Americas.
Wow.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting. So here we have horse and buggy. So because of its location, the only way to get to Itata was through undiscovered terrain, ship, or horse caravans. So the settlers literally, they initially brought the muscat of Alexandria and the Piaeus grape, which is also known as Listan Prieto.
Nice.
Which they picked while passing through the Canary Islands on their way to Latin America. Who knew the Canary Islands had grapes that they made wine from?
You know, that's where the Dracaena tree originated from.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So, now these nice people are the, gotta get the right pronunciation of this, Mapuches. And they are indigenous to that region of Chile, to the Itata region of Chile. And they have a very strong link and spirit about the earth, and they defend the land that they live on. And they take the farming, that all of that, very, very, very seriously. And when the Spaniards came and they wanted to plant, because they didn't have to worry about the irrigation due to the large amounts of rainfall in the area, you know, they had some issues with the indigenous people, but that was obviously resolved because they planted and they all, you know, worked it out. So in the 1800s, the Chilean wine industry moved from to the Central Valley, where more fertile soils and it was fashionable. It was almost like moving to the big city because big vineyards were being planted there. Large wineries were born. That's when they started implementing the trellis systems, and they changed to vertical shoot positioning. They started to mechanize part of their production. They just like left Itata. They kind of left it behind. They kind of like, you know, kind of like my husband, move on, no turning back. So it became a place for larger wineries, Itata, to purchase more for negociants. So they started purchasing grapes through, you know, a middleman and who price fixed the crops. And today that's still pretty much a lot of the premise in Itata. That's kind of what happened with the economics down there. Economic impact and ignoring the rich diversity of Itata, it has impacted the region. The amount of vineyards are decreasing, and there's been increased pressure to plant pine and eucalyptus trees. And that's what's threatening the vineyards that are there today, because people want to plant the trees. But the people that are growing the grapes, they love what they do, the people in the vineyards, and they won't let it die. They use the same techniques they used 500 years ago, minimal intervention that allows the vines to live and find their balance in the environment. And this goes all the way back to the Indians, the Mapuches.
Mapuches, right.
Mapuches. This goes all the way back to the Mapuches. And their love for the land. And the people that are there now that are growing the grapes, that are cultivating the grapes, they have a vision. And they want to keep it alive. They don't want to let it die. Now, this is like something that I thought was way cool. The pre-Columbian cultures, they used them to produce the alcohol. But they used the Itata region, they used these until the 19th century when they were replaced by barrels and containers.
And we are now going back to them.
Are we? The concrete ones. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's so many wineries that are doing the concrete eggs now. It is time to officially drink.
Cheers.
Okay. Cheers. Sláinte. Lunch.
It's light.
Yes, mine is light also. I have a bit of a there's a bit of bitterness at the end of it. On the finish. And there's cherry and a brown baking spice. I'm trying to be able to separate my baking spices. But it's actually kind of like
maybe a little clove.
Yeah, I was gonna say like an allspice. I was gonna say like an allspice, but it's not as powerful as an allspice. So maybe the clove. But it is very. No, that doesn't really work.
But I mean, as far as on my mouth feel.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of tannins in it.
No. No, not at all. And yours is a 2014. Mine is a 2016. So, okay. And it's kind of, I'm not going to say it's flabby. It's not flabby. It's there.
There's nothing that stands out in it. Maybe it needs food to go with it.
Yeah. I don't know, it's a very short finish. It like almost is non-existent of a finish for me. I taste it and I get, you know,
some red cherry on that.
Yeah, I'm getting
get a short spice finish on it. Like, very short.
It literally is like glycerin on my tongue. It just vanishes off of my tongue as soon as I'm on. As soon as I taste it. I mean, it's not unappealing, but it's just not. And mine was $16.
Mine was 15. Yeah. 15 so, change. Yeah. Put it down.
So it was mine was $15.99. And
mine was $15.97.
It's very, it's cherry aromas, clove on the aroma. And then when you taste it, it's got cherry, but it's like glycerin. It just
mine. There's nothing strong. There's nothing that stands out. No. And we both have different wines.
Right.
Yeah, mine. There's nothing that stands out. There's nothing overtaking one flavor, one aroma to the other. They're just kind of all mashed in there, and then they disappear.
Very one dimensional. And
you
saying that maybe it needs food, maybe, but I actually almost think that food is just going to take it away. Like, you're not...
Too overpowering for it?
Yeah, because it's not... there's nothing there. You know, I always think of the food pairing as enhancing the flavors of a wine, you know, promoting certain aspects of the wine.
Right.
And there's not very much there to promote or enhance.
Yeah. Now, I'm wondering, this is my first time tasting this varietal alone. Usually it's in a blend.
I got Turlis and So that I like would kill people for.
Really?
And that is central, except actually Turlis Senso is actually from Lodi. The fruit is actually from the Betchold vineyard in Lodi. So the same where Michael David, it's the Michael David winery, their vineyard, that's where they get it from. I had another, so I have the Michael David Senso and I have the Turlis Senso, but again, they're both from the same vineyard. And I had
indicative to the region, the soil, the climate.
Yeah. And not,
you know, it rains a lot down there.
Not having any previous experience with the region. I don't know. I guess that means we need to explore a little more. I don't know too many places that do Senso as it on its own, but I have, you know, I'm spoiled that Betchold vineyard in Lodi is outrageous. But
that also might be the difference between California,
New World, yeah, definitely. So once again, this is mine. And it is Alos Vinateros Bravos. And it is Granitico Senso. And it has 13.5 alcohol. So that's low for us Americans.
Mine's 13%.
Yeah, so they're lighter wines. And my winery is actually owned by, and I guess winemaker is Leonardo Irasso. And he created Alos Vinateros Bravos Winery in the heart of the Utada region. And after I would like to meet him. I kind of want to reach out to him and ask him if he'll do a Pursue Your Passion, because his little bio cracked me up hysteric. I mean, I was laughing at his kind of misery, but I mean, he's throwing it out there. So this is basically his words. I couldn't change it because it was so funny. So he has, after finishing university, falling in love with a young winemaker that didn't work out, I decided to travel the world. For 5 years, I worked in Spain, France, Australia, New Zealand, and California. Returned to Australia, fell in love with a South African woman. Moved to South Africa with her, but yeah, that didn't work out either. But while I was there, I earned a scholarship to do a Master in Viticulture and Terroir at Stellenbosch University. So not lucky in love, but pretty darn lucky in viticulture. There he learned many changes were taking place with a lot of active young winemakers, and he focused on the influence of soil that it has on the wine, and it led to him to study soils in France and Germany. 10 years later, he was in charge of the Altos Las Hormigas in Mendoza, Argentina, and this winery and the Rogue Vine in Itata Hills, in addition to this. So he's in Argentina and then two wineries in Itata. So he gets around, right? Leonardo doesn't interfere with the terroir to bring a strong sense of the place to the bottle. So he believes winemaking should be simple. He uses only native yeast. He uses the cement tank for fermentation and aging. It is actually organic and sustainably grown, but he doesn't file suit for that certification, because from what I understand, it's insane to get that certification. This wine was hand harvested from 60-year-old vines, and as I said, native yeast, malolactic fermentation occurs naturally, fermented in the concrete vats. The skins were basket pressed, and then the wine was aged for 18 months and then bottled using coarse filtration. So he filtrated, but coarse, with coarse filters. And he created this one has 833 cases. So this is Granitico. So it was made from the vines that are on granite soils. So he's looking for super fresh and mineral. There's definitely mineral in here. And he actually says that Senso is a challenging grape in the Itata Hills. So now his description. His description. Unusual concentration, lingering tannins, the freshest that makes it last so long. Fresh red fruits and mineral notes that end on the palate, which is typical of volcanic soils, add the unique characteristics to this wine. So I get the red fruit. I get the minerality. I don't get the tannin at all. And I don't get a long finish at all. But and he is not on Twitter, he is not on Instagram, but he is on Facebook under his name, which is Leonardo Arizavinos, which I'll type in as you're talking in case anybody's okay. Interested. So that is my wine.
And mine is from the DiMartino family. So the DiMartino family arrived in Gelée from Italy in 1934, and they settled in the Maipo area. Today, they produce wines from the Maipo, Casablanca, Lamari, Cachapoal, Mall, Elquai, Chapa, Itata region. In the 90s, they exported their Carmenere in 1996, and that's how they started to export into the States. Today, it's run by third generation Pietro, Marco, and Remo, and they are bringing on the fourth generation now, too. They create wines that reflect their origins. Wines are fermented with native yeast and aged in steel, concrete, and old barrels of 5,000 liter FUDRES, I can't pronounce it, but you know, those big barrels, which is probably why you can't taste, you know, you really can't taste like the oak influence on it, because it's really neutral.
Yes. And the amphoras help add minerality, because
right.
Theirs is clay. Is theirs clay?
Concrete,
okay.
But the granite is in the soil, so that's also where you get a little of the minerality, I think.
Right.
The vineyards they use for the wine age from 35 to 110 years old, and the tillage is done by horses. The vines are in the goblet formation on the hills, and the Itata River flows nearby. They get 1,000, is it milliliters?
Milliliters?
Rainfall a year, and that allows for dry farming. And the soil is granite, clay with some quartz. That's pretty much it. And they said this should pair well with pasta and pizza.
Oh, well, yeah, I can see pizza, plain pizza.
I can see the pizza. I'm not sure on the pasta thing, if it was just plain pasta and red sauce, maybe.
Yeah, marinara sauce. Yeah. Yeah. So you are up as we discuss what they recommend pairing it with. I can see cheese pizza. I'm not thinking anything on it. Like, I'm thinking sausage, that fennel is not going to go with this.
That would be too much.
And even pepperoni would
overpower it.
And I don't taste any green in the wine. But
no, it's the first time, I have to say, with the red wine from Chile that I haven't.
Right. But I think that if you maybe a veggie pizza would go with it, because it doesn't have the green. So what did you find for food pairings?
So for food pairings, this is going to work. I wonder what happened to the other one. So for food pairings, so the pais, is that how you
say it?
Pais. Okay. So the Mapuches develop cooking techniques, and I'm going to talk a little bit about, because, you know, usually you try and, with the region, you try and pair it with, you know, food from that region, so you can kind of improvise and to do it in your kitchen on how you would think it would be. But they develop cooking techniques by cooking directly in the fire and cooking in the ashes, which is called rescoldo. And it's still practiced today. And if you're ever down in that region, you're going to do the food truck thing to get it, roadside stands. But this is a San Juan stew. So this is like a whatever you have in the refrigerator stew. You've got pork rib, bacon, smoked pork chops, beef, chicken legs, turkey drumstick, onions, sausages, plums, dry cherries, bay leaves, cumin, oregano, salt, pepper, white wine, and potatoes. And this actually...
And the kitchen sink.
Yes. And this actually is usually eaten on the 24th of June, which is National Indigenous People Day. And it's paired with paella, which has dark fruit and drying tannins that attract with the floral and citrus notes of the stew. So... I think you can probably, you know, there's a lot of meat in that.
Yeah, I'm skipping that, but
Yeah.
I'll try the pais, but I'm skipping that.
When you look at it and you want to say, okay, what is this going to pair with what cooks in my kitchen? I would say a beef stew or a sausage stew.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
I'm not really sure anybody's making that.
This is a spice.
Oh, okay.
This is the smoky flavors of the Mapuche cookie methods, which this works with Carmenere. The fruity spiciness, earth flavor, and soft oak of the tannins of Carmenere pair well with dishes prepared with this merkin, which is a spice, which is a combination of smoked chili pepper, coriander seed, and sea salt. So the smokiness of the merkin bridges the gap with the oak of the wine. So I would say you would take this spice and you could put it on a grilled meat.
Yep.
You know, or smoke some meat with it. And then we have a white wine, and actually that's a dish that I ate out. That's Gus's cooking.
Oh, okay.
That is Rogue Grand Itata White, which is a blend of Muscat and Semillon, and it pairs well with salmon, spicy food, or poultry.
I guess that's a little on the sweeter side. If the lead grape is Muscat.
And then other things, like they grow Merlot down there. They make Merlot. So this is a meatloaf. This is actually my Cajun meatloaf, which it's not really that good of a picture, but I didn't like anybody else, other people's meatloaf. And that I adapted from Paul Prudhomme. It's a real kick-ass meatloaf.
You just made that the other day, didn't you?
I did make that the other day. Actually, Paul made it.
Ah.
Because I was up here working. And I came down and he gets impatient because he has he's got time on his hands. I'm, doing a million things. So he chopped it all up and he actually altered it. He didn't put ketchup in. We had extra sauce from pasta. He used that instead. It came out just as good. Shepherd's pie, any kind of stew. So, Merlot is one of the grapes they do good down there. So I think, you think about what you grow, what you would pair it with, regardless of the region that it's in.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to Chile. I don't think I could survive on the food in Chile.
Yeah, I can, because I like some of that stuff, and I like spice.
Well, I like spice, but I don't know. I'm really nervous about France. I'm not going to lie. I'm really nervous about France.
But. You'll be fine. There is stuff that you can eat. Just when I was there, I had pigeon like 4 times. Yeah, and I was like, the third time I said, you got to take my pigeon, Paul.
Yeah. No. I do understand that they have a lot of eggs there. So I have a feeling I'll be eating a lot of egg and tomato, which is absolutely fine by me.
The breakfasts are awesome.
Yeah. I can be a croissant.
Cheese, bread.
Yeah,
yogurt.
I'm going to come back like 50 pounds heavier. I think we'll be there 2 weeks. I think I'm going to be there two weeks. I'm going to be.
Yeah, I didn't gain any weight.
No?
No.
A lot of walking. No.
We ate. We did a lot of walking and we ate. A
lot of walking.
But.
I hope so. I don't know. But.
You'll be fine. Just stay away from the pigeon.
Just no pigeon. No pigeon. Nope.
A pate.
No.
Paul liked the pate. I didn't have
pate. No. No, and all that. They're gonna put some like organ meat in front of me and I'm gonna freak out. Like
I did have escargot though. It was really good.
Not happening. Thank God. I already told Ryan. Ryan is like my travel husband, I already told him, I'm like, you're like eating all of my stuff, right? And he's like, as long as he's the same way. As long as it's not organ meats, we're good to go. Like, I'm like, whatever.
Mm-hmm. It's getting better as it opens. It's getting a little bit more fruitier.
Good for you. I do like the nose. It's a very, very nice nose. It is clove.
I have a little menthol in here, I think.
Well, you know what? Now that we said that there's no herbaceousness... That's actually what's starting to pop out now as it's warming up. Yeah. I'm getting some greenery here. I am going to go on to five fast facts about the Itata Valley. Number one, the 1939 Chilean earthquake occurred in south central Chile on January 24th and had a surface wave magnitude of 8.3 with a death toll of around 28,000. I am a survivor is so not the word, but I am a survivor of a 6.4 earthquake that leveled my town of Whittier. I mean, it leveled it. 6.4 was a big earthquake and took my town down. And to be 8.3 is, you know, like it's I forget what the each point is not just a single increase. It's like a tenfold or a hundredfold or whatever. So 8.3 is out of control. And 28,000 people. So that is kind of really sad. The name of the town of Chilean in the Itata region means the place where the sun is in the local Mapuche is how you say it. Mapuche, right? That's how we're going to say it. Language. And I just thought that picture was so beautiful. Such a beautiful sunset. Number three. Does that picture look familiar? 7.9% of the total wine production in Chile is in Itata, which is 11,000 hectares in Itata. And there's only 138 total in Chile. So that is a large portion. Number four, planted in the mid-1500s, that's what you were mentioning, the Spanish conquerors and missionaries identified Chile's Itata Valley as an ideal grape-growing region due to good soils with no irrigation necessary. I love the fact that you and I do not talk at all about what we're going to talk about.
I know.
And then when it comes together, I love it.
Yeah, I do too.
And number five, the climate is so ideal that a large number of growers forego traditional pesticides and are actually organic. Since it is paradise for grapes and the cost of labor is relatively low, you will find value in Chilean wines. So, although I don't think $16 is...
I would say this is more of a $10
value. I agree. I go with a $10 bottle.
Yeah.
I like that $9.99 mark. You know. It's like selling the house, you know, it's got to be the 999,000, you know. Don't go to that next 100,000.
That's right. It's subliminal stuff.
Yes.
Playing with the mind.
Yes. That is Itata.
So shall we talk about next month? Is March 19th.
Yes.
And is it Jackir grape?
I believe that is how you say it, but as you know, I don't Google till I start to research. Thank you. March 19th. Yes, that is our next one.
March 19th. We will visit the Jack. What's it? Jackir. I'm so bad.
Jackir. That is a grape, not a grape region.
Right.
So we are back to a grape. I'm not going to lie. I like it better when we do grapes versus grape regions.
I do too. But
some of the letters are difficult.
But also, you know, regions, they there's something to be said about them because you don't find some things in some regions, and some regions are only certain varietals, and there's reasons behind that. So,
yeah. And we would have never learned about Itata if we didn't hit the letter I, because I'd never heard of
that's
it before.
That's right.
So
that's right. So, yeah. Well, thank you guys. And we'll see you all March 19th.
And please remember, check out our website. It is winefabetstreet.com. Okay. You can find all of our information there. Find out more about Debbie and myself. Watch past videos of the previous Wine for Bet Streets. And please remember, try Wink, WINC.com/WineForBet to get $20 off of your first order. And let us know how that goes. You know, let us know if you do try Wink and what wines are suggested for you. And let us know if you like it or not.
So, till next month. Cheers.
Sláinte.
Thanks for listening to Dracena Wines Podcast. If you have suggestions of what topics you would like us to discuss, please reach out to us on social media or at dracenawines@gmail.com. If you liked our podcast, please subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting program you use. To easily subscribe at iTunes, please go to bit.ly/DracenaPodcast. That's bit.ly/D for Dracena and P for podcast. We would greatly appreciate you leaving a review on your favorite system. It helps others to find us. Let's get social. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Pinterest, YouTube, Google Plus, and Periscope at Dracena Wines. And I am on LinkedIn as Lori Hoyt Budd. Check out our award-winning wine at DracenaWines.com. And remember to always pursue your passion. Sláinte.